Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.
Sponsored by Virgin Mobile. We'll tell you when your phone is paid off. Virgin Mobile. Bring on amazing.
We are going to go live to Achill Island now, where the Pipers are already queuing up for Paddy's Day. Our trusty Western correspondent is there, Edwin McGrail. Edwin, how are you?
Hey Lottie, how are things?
I am fabulous, Edwin. How are you?
Great, no, I'm great.
Well, Edwin, I'm only obviously messing about the queue today, but they will be preparing tonight and up at the crack of dawn tomorrow, won't they?
Oh, absolutely. It's a big couple of days here on the island. You need to be up very early to catch them, Lottie. The action starts with the pipe band in Dua getting things underway at the ungodly hour at 6 a.m. It's their 75th anniversary, as you mentioned, and they'll have exiles coming from all over the world returning home to participate in it and to watch. There was no marching of the pipe bands for the last couple of years, so this year's festivities are eagerly awaited. And it's fair to say anyone in Dua won't need the alarm set. They'll be walking good and early.
So will people actually be up at that time, lying in the streets to watch?
You better believe it, yeah. There'll be the hordes will be out. It's a massive culture in Achill, the pipe bands. They start in Dua, they march from Dua to the next village of Pulla, onto Keel and onto the church in Dukinella, and pipe bands in each of those villages join along the way, and other pipe bands join. And particularly, like I say, with the missing the last couple of years, and would have been such a big anniversary for Dua, there's going to be huge crowds down there. So
I'd say it's a great atmosphere. Is it like a part, like a festival in the streets?
Absolutely, absolutely. And it's just it's a beautiful part of the world as well. And it's just a real, real special occasion.
Now, Edwin, is it true that you had your own little celebrations recently? Did Shamey have a big day?
He did indeed. At long last, Shamey took the plunge for his christening, our youngest. we had a great day. It was so lovely to have everyone together, I suppose, you know, after a mad couple of years. Yeah, it was so far on for Shamey that as we thought, he was able to walk down the aisle for
Stop.
His own christening. You know, so yeah, he's 14 months now, so he's waiting a long time. So yeah, it was a great day, and I believe congratulations in order for you on the same front, Lottie.
Yeah, we did it this weekend. Wolf was christened. Now he's 9 months, and he was by far the biggest baby in the church. So I can only imagine that Jamie was well in advance.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. I know he was. Yeah, he was loving it. He wasn't too keen on the cold water going over him,
but was every he other. Not?
No, that didn't go down well. In fairness to the priest, he asked us, had we lukewarm water, and we didn't. So the fault goes with us and not the priest.
Why, what was Shamey's reaction?
I just started crying and was like, "What are you doing to me? You know, I'm all dressed up and you're putting water on me, you know." So, yeah, it wasn't best pleased, but he got over quick enough.
Yeah, my lad slept through the whole thing now. We brought him up to, is the font the correct term? We went up to the font and he was fast asleep, dribbling all over himself. And the priest was pouring the water over the head and he was snoring. And the priest had to say to the congregation, "And this child appears to just be sleeping through the entire celebration." I was like, "I'm so sorry."
Oh, that's not a complaint. That sounds like a great baby that'll sleep that easily, you know. So I think that sounds like a real blessing.
I mean, it was a big learning experience for me. We had little lessons and everything before the christening. Did you learn a few things about the Holy Spirit yourself?
Yeah, I learned plenty. Every day is a school day. Isn't that what they say, Lottie? Have you ever heard of chrism?
I haven't. And should I have, seen as I just christened my child?
No, this was our third and I hadn't heard of chrism either. It's one of the oils used in the service. And the priest who performed the christening, he's a relation of mine. And he asked me to make sure we had some, as he doesn't have any himself. And I assumed it would be up in the church and was relaxed enough about it and went up the day before looking, not a drop of it. And I figured, you know, there's 8 churches in Achill. I'd find it somewhere, but couldn't get chrism anywhere.
Oh, no.
On the island. And at that stage, the panic kind of started to set in. But I was like, surely it's like holy water. You can just get the priest to bless some oil and they do it. But no, chrism, it turns out, and another lesson, it has to be blessed by a bishop. So
we were, dear father,
and the panic really started. After all the delays, the christenings that had been postponed, were we going to have to do it again the day before? But thankfully, the great Father Charlie MacDonald, a priest in Westport an hour away, came to our rescue and let us borrow his. And we got away. We just got away just about, just in the nick of time. Too close.
So if you hadn't have gotten that, would the christening have to be cancelled?
More than likely, yeah. Yeah. It's an essential oil, you could say.
Very good. I see what you did there, Edwin. Edwin, speaking of Holy Spirits, Croagh-Patrick, known for its pilgrimage and, of course, for St. Patrick, it's getting a lot of publicity at the moment. The Climb with Charlie is coming up soon. So when is it taking place? Tell us a little bit about that.
It's penciled in for April 2nd, Lottie, and to say it has captured the nation's imagination is an understatement. Charlie Bird is undertaking the climb. He's fighting a battle with motor neuron disease, and everyone is behind him. I think we were all moved. Anyone who saw him on the Late Late Show recently was moved by his story. Thousands are expected to join him on the day, and plenty of other people are doing concurrent climbs at different mountains around the country in support of Charlie. Yeah, so it's really took off. And a few weeks ago, ahead of the trip, he visited local schools in Westport and got a terrific reception. He was there with his wife Claire and his beloved dog as well. So they got a lovely welcome in Westport. And it's something that is that has caused a lot of excitement and anticipation around Mayo.
So who's taking part?
Well, like I say, there'll be thousands there on the day, but. Initially, another inspirational Irish person was due to do the climb with Charlie, and that's cervical check campaigner Vicky Phelan. However, she had to make the difficult decision to pull out of taking part following complications related to her radiotherapy. But Charlie has revealed the first candle he lights when he reaches the chapel at the summit of Croagh-Patrick will be for Vicky.
Oh, that's lovely. It's quite incredible that he's doing it, I think. And I believe some of the local kids are getting involved. And he's already raised over €500,000 for the charities, according to the website. So if people want to get involved, it's, as you said, 2nd of April. It's an aid of Pieta House and the Irish Motor Neuron Disease Association. And you can check out climbwithcharlie.ie. Now, Edwin, two Sligo men. They're doing their country proud. Tell us about them.
Yeah, Fergal Nealon and Mark Walsh from Sligo, they're putting themselves at great risk to deliver essential supplies across the Polish-Ukrainian border. The supplies are destined for Kharkiv. That's the Ukrainian city that's all over the news these days. It's under relentless Russian bombardment. And they've already brought more than 300 kilos of humanitarian aid from Ireland and plan to scale up their operation in the weeks ahead. They're both former professional poker players, so they know a thing or two about keeping their nerve, but this is altogether higher stakes. It's not about losing money. The risks are far greater. They have to cross the border to do so, as the Ukrainian drivers they're linking up with cannot come close to the border because of conscription. They're not allowed to leave the Ukraine. So Fergal and Mark, it's fair to say, are going above and beyond to try and get essential aid to the Ukraine.
It's very impressive. I mean, they're very brave men. And from what I've read, they're not just obviously dealing with people on the ground, but haven't they got contacts that go right to the top?
Yeah, in Ireland, we're very familiar with the reality that what you know is important, but who you know can be just as crucial. And Fergal explained how he got into a WhatsApp group chat with the head of the health department in Kharkiv, who has been sending their specific medical needs in advance, such as drugs, bandages and sadly body bags. So Fergal and Mark know what are the particular things that are most urgent and are trying to act accordingly.
That's incredible. I mean, I think what they've achieved in the space of, it's just a few weeks, isn't it? It's incredible. And Charlie is the same. I think it goes to show just how generous Irish people can be in a time of crisis, not just generous, but brave as well to be stepping up to the plate. Now, there's a story, I love this. It's about a building that survived the Civil War here, the Second World War and a global pandemic. So if only, I think, all prospective property buyers could form an alliance like this one. Tell us the story behind Glenn's Bar.
Well, we've all heard of arranged marriages, but what about the arrangement in Galway that led to a marriage? It's a lovely story by Stephen Corrigan in the Connacht Tribune. It was 1922. The Irish Civil War had not even started, and Galway woman Winifred Burke put in a bid on a property in Oranmore. There was only one other bidder, Michael Glynn, and instead of competing against each other, it was suggested they team up to buy what would become Glynn's Bar.
Okay.
And the start of it. They would go on to marry and have seven children together.
That's amazing.
Isn't it? And the pub, like you said, survived the Civil War, World War II, COVID-19, And 100 years later, it's still in the family. It's been run by Winifred and Michael's grandson, John O'Malley, and his wife, Anna. It's a fabulous family history and it's a lovely story.
I mean, isn't that incredible? 100 years of business this weekend and it's still going from strength to strength. I think that's a beautiful story. There's a movie in that.
There certainly is. Yeah. So it's a place I must frequent the next time I'm up that part of the world.
Yeah, I'd have to visit it sometime. So whereabouts is it exactly?
So it's on the Dublin Road in the lovely town of Oran Mór. So it's just a few miles east of Galway City. And I'm told it's not just a bar. If you go there, Galway hurling star Garrod McInerney might fire out a pizza from the pub's outdoor area. So it has a lot of
I love it. I'm going to definitely go. And finally, before I let you go, Edwin, I want to give a shout out to Skippy and not the bush kangaroo. Tell me about this gorgeous little fella.
Yeah, just across Blacksod Bay from us here in Achill is the remarkable Skippy. He was born in 1996 and is still going strong with his master, Pat Gerrity, in Ellie Bay, just outside Belmullet. I don't know, maybe it's the Mayo Sea air. I hope it is. It might keep all of us going a little while longer yet. But like a lot of farm dogs, there's no paperwork to prove Skippy's age, but plenty of locals back up the fact that he's around since 1996. So he's 26 this year.
So he's the oldest dog in Ireland, isn't he?
He's considered the oldest dog in Ireland. Like I said, there's no proof as such, and he's considered one of the oldest dogs in the world. The people who, a local videographer, Fergus Sweeney, revealed it on Twitter initially, and Fergus is a neighbour of theirs, and he backs it up, and Fergus's word is good enough for me. So, yeah, Skippy, 26, and still going strong.
So what's 26? That must be the equivalent of about 130 or 140 in human years. He's doing pretty well. I have to get a few health tips from him.
Yeah, your maths are very good. It's between 130 and 145 dog years is what they say. So yeah. So he's definitely must have had a clean living life. And
I wonder what he's feeding him.
Yeah, well, Pat said that he has two tins of brandy dog food a day plus some scraps. And he stopped working in the last couple of years, putting his feet up. I think he's earned that rest. But
so retirement. Yeah. It's retirement. That's what helps you live longer.
It sounds like he was working till 24, which must be well past the pension age. But
yeah, that's true. You know, Edwin, listen, thanks for being with us today and enjoy the celebrations in Achill tomorrow and on Friday. We will catch up with you in a few weeks.
Jennifer Zamparelli on 2FM.